Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a new report from the American Heart Association reveals that almost half of adults in the U.S. have heart disease, and high blood pressure is a big factor. A doctor walks us through what we need to know. First, it's Food Friday, and this week we're exploring the cuisines of South America. Empanadas are a familiar sight, but there's a lot more out there to enjoy, from hearty stews to fresh fish and desserts. Our next guest has been trying her hand at some of these in the last month, and she's with us in the studio right now. Lori Skelton is a WPR classical music host and a Food Friday regular. She'll also be leading a WPR travel vacation to Chile and Argentina this October. Lori, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Good to be here, although I got overwhelmed in the last 2 months.
Well, yes, because we are talking about a whole continent with many different influences and a variety of cuisines. I have to say, having been to Bolivia, even from very high altitudes to lower, to middle to lower, mm-hmm. totally different foods and ingredients. So there's a lot going on here, but are there some ingredients that, as you were doing research, that you see being kind of a common thread in these cuisines?
A lot of what we think of as New World foods, and that's what ended up making certain dishes that you could tell came from, say, Spain or Italy, not feel like something from Spain or Italy.
So what are some of those New World influences?
You'll find a lot of corn. Obviously, and we talk about the three sisters, corn, beans, and squash of some kind. That will show up added to a number of dishes that you may not expect right away. There are a number of sweet potatoes, different kinds of yams, some native and some that were brought in, certainly with African people coming and being in those cultures as well. We don't think of South America as having plains that are devoted to agriculture. We either think of the coast with all of that great seafood, or especially with Argentina, we think gauchos, we think beef, we think a lot of ranching.
Well, I just want to say people that are not from there, stuck
in the Midwest, I should say, that don't tend to think about, because we do hear a lot about the beef, that those great barbecues where every part of the animal is on that grill. We don't tend to think about all of the fields of wheat and corn. We don't think about growing a lot of quinoa, which is an amaranth plant, but that's an annual, has to be planted every year. We don't think about certain starchy vegetables that we don't have, or we would really have to work hard to get, like yucca and plantains. And so a lot of the ingredients might be a little bit difficult to come across, but if you do a little bit of digging, one of the things that shows up a lot is that a lot of these ingredients freeze very well. So if you've got a Latin American grocery anywhere in your neighborhood, check out the freezer section and you just might be able to find what it is you're looking for.
And I have to say, actually, you're talking about being able to get some ingredients frozen. I have a favorite quinoa kind of bake that freezes beautifully. So it can freeze maybe on both ends of the spectrum.
Absolutely.
So not uncommon in any cuisine is a starchy or a grain ingredient that gets paired with some kind of a sauce to add flavor. What kind of condiments are popular with South American cooks?
Oh, brother. All right. You say, again, coming back to our relatively limited Midwestern palate, at least limited for some of us. You say salsa, and we think, well, that's what you dip your chips in. There are a number of sauces, salsas, and a lot of them are just on the table at all times. Rather than make a dish with a specific heat level, a dish is made, again, with something that could be relatively bland, but it's livened up by what you choose to put on it at the table. A lot of the salsas that we think of, chopped vegetables, are often served with just a little bit of acid. But then you start blending other things in, like pebre and chimichurri are types of sauces that have a lot of hot pepper or sometimes a lot of ground pepper, and those are blended more with oils than with acids. If you go to any of the Andean regions, go up further into the mountains, they're going to use things that are very unexpected for the Midwest, creamy sauces. They are nut-based, they are seed-based, or in some cases, cheese-based. Mayonnaise is popular for certain things, especially if you do have a hot dish and want to cool the heat a little bit. There is a great love of the garlic aioli, which I normally think of as French, but that is a mayonnaise dish, that a mayonnaise sauce that's used a lot. But it's also a good base for hot peppers. It's a good base for herbs. One thing I haven't made yet, but I'm dying to try, is what Venezuelans use avocados for. They call it, I believe, guasacaca. It's basically guacamole with a lot of peppers added, and you puree it. You actually run it through the blender in most cases.
It has a uniformly smooth
really consistency. Creamy, really wonderful. I've had it served to me, but I've never made it myself. There's mojo. This is a sauce with a lot of garlic and vinegar or citrus juice, and mojo means to moisten. So that's not there just to add flavor, but it's also there to change the texture, especially if your barbecue got a little bit too dry. And then, of course, there's all the different soured creams and soured milks that show up, and that is considered a sauce as well. Obviously, in a climate this warm, dairy is going to curdle. So you see a lot of canned milk that's used, or you will let it lightly ferment. You can use sour cream if you're starting off, but it's not quite the same taste. Sour cream, for want of a better word, is a little bit bland against some of what you're doing with South America, whereas a crema, again, if you have a Latin American grocery in your neighborhood, check this out, because getting actual crema from South America, the taste is brighter and pairs much better with the ingredients we're working with. It's actually one of those things that if you've got time and are feeling like I need another do-it-yourself project, making various soured milks and cremas is something you can do in your own kitchen. That's a great thing to set your search engine up for. So if you're feeling ambitious or you want to get somebody involved in another project, that may be one to try.
We're talking right now with Lori Skelton on Food Friday. She's a WPR classical music host. She joins us every few months on Food Friday. And we're looking at some of the cuisines of South America this time around. Lori will be leading a WPR travel vacation to Chile and Argentina this October. And you mentioned this a little in passing, Lori, but I wanted to go back to it. Is there a range in how spicy some of these South American dishes are?
Absolutely. If you're worried about, I don't want to dive into this because I've had something that was Mexican and it blew my ears off, South American food runs the gamut, in part because there is such an influence of Europe to be found in South American cooking. To my surprise, between 1860 and 1900, over half of the immigrants to Argentina, for instance, were from Italy. And so you will find pasta. You will find ravioli in Argentina. You will find gnocchi in Argentina. Their version of grilled cheese is to grill provolone and then throw on herbs and maybe some chili flakes and let it get crispy on the outside, gooey on the inside, and eat it that way. So you don't have to worry about heat level. Again, that's what having all those different condiments on the table. And yes, some of them are going to be incredibly hot and spicy, but you play with it as you see fit. Start off with a lovely plate of, say, baked beans, or refried beans, excuse me, and you'll add to that as however hot you want it.
One of the maybe most commonly known South American dishes outside of South America are empanadas. And you found a lot of variations to them. First of all, let's start from the very beginning. What are the basics of what makes an empanada an empanada?
Ever had a pasty?
Yes.
It's, think about it as a pasty, although the variety of fillings is much more diverse in South America. Some of them are small and half moon shaped. Some of them, especially in Chile, will get almost the size of a pizza.
Wow.
They can be squared off.
So like a calzone.
Are squared off rather than that half moon shape. You're going to find some of them that are baked, some of them that are fried. You can get wrappers, again, in the freezer. The Goya brand is a really easy one to find. They have two of them, one that produces a flaky, like a puff pastry, and one that produces a pastry that's a little bit closer to a standard pie crust. I'm told that the flaky pastry one is better for a baked empanada, and the other one is better for fried. Frankly, I think this would be a perfect case of pick your favorite and do with it what you want. If you're going to make your own pastry, this is where it can really get interesting. The pastries can be very, very complex. Mary Berry would have a great time with it.
Great British baking show judge.
You can make it from wheat flour, corn flour, yucca flour, plantain flour. A lot of empanada, though, calls for lard. I did find a number of recipes where olive oil is used. You can enrich your empanada dough with sugar, powdered milk, eggs, butter, even wine. And your fillings can vary. Obviously, if you're on the coast, mariscos, any kind of seafood would be fantastic. But there is very often, especially in Chile, a way to make a kind of a sweet and sour component. A really popular blend of ingredients is known as pino, and this is going to have minced meat, onions, raisins, black olives, and chunked up hard-boiled eggs. So that's just a start on empanadas. But basically, anything you can think to fill in your savory pastry, I've discovered it's a really great way. We were talking in December about how to use up leftovers in the kitchen. It's a really great way to use up leftover roasted vegetables.
Oh,
wrap them
great.
Up in pastry, and drizzle a little crema on top, and you're good to go.
Sounds delicious. Lori Skelton is with us on Food Friday, and we're talking about some of the cuisines of South America. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are there South American dishes you like to make at home? If you're from South America or if you visited there, what foods do you really love? Do you have tips for us on making empanadas, carbonara, or some other dish? What questions do you have for Lori about her experiments with South American cuisine? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our chat with Lori Skelton about South American cooking, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you like to make South American dishes in your kitchen? What are some of your favorite South American ingredients, flavorings, or dishes? If you have advice for us on a favorite recipe, let us know. The number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. Before we move further, Lori, we were talking about empanadas and we were talking about savory ones, but you did mention that sugar was a possible addition into the dough. So I'm guessing there might be sweet fillings too.
Believe it or not, when I mentioned sugar, that was for a savory recipe.
Really? Interesting.
A lot of times you will find sugar in just a little bit in South American dishes. I think it's there, one, to increase the caramelization, whether you're actually dressing your meat before you sear it with a little bit of sugar, or you've got it in the pastry to, again, add that little extra crispy sweet. But again, there is a lot of love in South America, I'm finding, where there's just a hint of sweet to play against other savory flavors. I guess they think of it the way we would think of salt, as you put just a little extra on and it brings up the flavor rather than taste salty. Here, the sugar is bringing out the flavor rather than tasting sweet.
Interesting.
Which is not to say that you can't have lovely fried sweet things. Sopapillas, fried pumpkin fritters with a, dusted with a little sugar. Great street food.
Well, and our board operator today, Sarah, said that she loves the guava ones from the Caracas Empanada Cart on Library Mall here in Madison.
Yes.
So they do exist. And now I want one. Thanks a lot, Sarah. Well, something that's closely tied to Argentina, but actually shows up all over South America, is carbonada. And there are a lot of different types. But at its core, what is carbonada?
Okay. If you're going to have a very basic kind of soup or stew, that's usually going to be called a cazuela. And you're going to be thinking, okay, basic meat, some vegetables, a good flavorful broth, but nothing terribly fancy. Carbonada is where you're going to find more time, more effort. Cookbooks will refer to what the meat and the vegetables are cooked in, not as a broth, but as a sauce. This is going to be something heartier. Probably it's going to have a great deal of, say, Spanish paprika, tomatoes, wine. This is a stew that is done in stages rather than sear your meat, throw everything in the pot, and then eat it when everything's falling apart. Carbonada will take you a little bit of time, but boy, is it worth it. I've fallen in love with the Argentinian version, where you've got meat, where you've got your tomatoes, your bell peppers, you've got your squash, you've got your corn, and then you've got dried fruit. Beef with apricots and raisins is really, really popular. The recipe that I handed in to put on the website has dried peaches in it.
Oh, wow.
And I just love this. This has been one of the best things for this winter. Having, again, that paprika, and there's rosemary and thyme in it. It's a very full-flavored sauce. But having the peaches in it lifts the stew up a little. It doesn't feel like you're eating heavy, stodgy food, even though it's a stew. It's going to make you feel really, really happy on a really cold day.
Well, and you mentioned the recipe that you shared, and people can find the recipe for that up at WPR.org/Food Friday. And Barb in Milwaukee called and was wondering where you got her recipes, if there are any cookbooks you'd recommend. And Lori, I know you came in here with something that looked like the size of a phone book. So.
All right. I admit, I have one of the best in my corner. Maricel Prestia, excuse me, 5 years ago put out a book, The Food of Latin America, Gran Cocina Latina, and this won the James Beard Award Book of the Year in 2013. Not only is she a chef, not only is she a food writer, she has a doctorate in medieval history. So she was able to go back to Europe and pull out 100-year-old texts talking about food and cooking, and was able to trace how certain techniques and certain ingredients made their way into South American cooking today. Now, I'm not saying Gran Cocina Latina has to be on your bookshelf. It's 800 pages. I'm going to be spending the rest of the year with it, getting ready for this trip in October. If it's available in your library, I highly recommend checking it out, even if you don't cook any of the recipes. What she has to say about the history, about the culture, about the general mindset of cooking in South America is absolute poetry. I'm probably going to be taking some of these pages along with me to read on the tour as we're going to check out different places to eat.
Sounds great. Let's go to the phones, and Maria in Madison is up. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, I'm good. I've been listening to the program, and I was born in Barranquilla, Colombia, and when I visited there, I've been living in the States since. When I visited there in 68, I went to Cartagena and went to some relatives' house, and they were all around the stove busy cooking sancocho. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard the term. I thought sancocho was the pot that you cook in. What is it?
Well, what I thought it was a soup. And it had seafood and chicken and corn, cobs, and yucca. Or Well, we call it yuca, either ñame or yuca, one of those roots.
Okay.
Just delicious.
It sounds amazing. Again, that wonderful layered flavoring that you're going to find.
Great. Well, thank you, Maria. And that sounds like one to put on your list.
Absolutely.
Let's go back to the phones, and Ken in La Crosse is up. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you like to cook?
Well, the empanadas that you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
What we like to do is we like to put a spicy pork in them. And then with the also with the spicy pork filling, you can make a masa with bananas. And but they have to be a green banana. You spread them out on foil. You can put the spicy pork on that. Roll it up, seal it with the foil, boil it for about an hour, and those are called pasteles, and those are also very good.
Wow, you had me at spicy pork, and then it just got even better from there.
No kidding. What spices were you using in that pork?
You can use whatever, you know, paprika, garlic.
But this needs to be assertive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, you know, to make it to your liking.
Okay, and green bananas
instead
of plantains.
That sounds great. Well, thanks for that call, Ken. Boy, my mouth is watering here, Lori. Any final advice or encouragement for those of us that might not have ventured into this style of cooking yet?
Okay, if you're going to get started with anything, I would say go ahead and play with ceviche. Mm. If you can get some decent seafood in your area, go ahead and play with, rather than cooking it to death, just use a little bit of some kind of acid. Maybe it's vinegar, maybe it's citrus juice.
Yeah, often lime juice, I think, right?
Maybe it's pisco. Maybe it's that great Chilean brandy. And if you're a fan of sushi, if you know you like raw fish, go ahead and cook it a little bit, and you'll play with some onions, some peppers, and that lovely acid. Maybe 5-10 minutes might be all you need to, it'll definitely give you, again, that lift in these last cold days. Ceviche is a wonderful way to feel like you're right on the coast in South America.
Well, Lori, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for giving me this challenge. I intend to keep going.
All right, we'll check in. Lori Skelton is a WPR classical music host and a regular on Food Friday. She was with us to talk about South American cooking. And you can find the recipe for carbonara criolla that we talked about at WPR.org/Food Friday.